first time ever, the Aldi Literary Lunch went to Northern Ireland, to Clandeboy, a spectacular house and estate just outside Belfast. It was also to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the greatest diplomat of the Victorian age, the first Marquess of Dufferin and Arva, who lived at and remodeled the house and estate at Clandeboy. His biographer, Andrew Gailey, was among the speakers. Other speakers were Robert Hardman on Elizabeth II, A.N. Wilson on the Great Exhibition, and Prue Leith on Being Old and Learning to Love It.
Many of you will know our last speaker, Prue Leith, from the Great British Bake Off, but she's been very well known ever since opening her restaurant Leith's in 1969. In 1975, she opened Leith's School of Food and Wine, and then came her greatest achievement, which was to revolutionise the British Rail sandwich. But might be her second greatest achievement. The first greatest achievement is to be an Aldi columnist. And she's here to talk about her new book, Being Old and Learning to Love It. Ladies and gentlemen, Prue.
Thanks, Harry. You know, I've actually written 26 books. Mostly novels or cookbooks. But this book, Being Old, is the very first one that's ever been a Sunday Times bestseller. So, I wish I could say that's because of the quality of the writing. But I honestly believe it's because booksellers didn't know what to do with a book called Being Old. And they know better than anybody that the only books that are selling well at the moment, I'm sorry you guys to tell you this, but are Blood and Guts and Violence or Self-Help. And I think, quite erroneously, they think that Being Old is a self-help book. It's not. It's a rant, it's a sort of glorification about being old. It's a kind of counterbalance to all the misery we hear. It's terrible to be old, and that, you know, but my publisher said you cannot call a book Being Old because old is so negative. Well, it's bloody not. I mean, most of us I'm not saying that there are not lots of old people who are having a miserable time because they're ill or because they're lonely or all sorts of reasons. But a lot of us, especially my generation, some of my generation, I think I'm probably older than any of you, have had really very good. We've had enough money. We've got the time to do what we like. We don't give a toss if everybody doesn't like what we want to do. We really don't care what people think. I always like that sort of axiom that when you're 20, you worry about what other people think of you. When you're 40, you don't care what they think of you. When you're 60, you know they don't think of you. So why don't we have to worry? We don't have to worry. So I wrote it really just because I wanted to write sort of the chapters are only like essays on aspects of being old, most of which are very positive and jolly. But I mean, for example, there's a chapter on having grandchildren, and basically my message is, if there is a message, is you have to bribe them to get them to come to see you. And my husband does this by having the most dangerous little machines that they can ride on and walk. You know, you see two-year-olds belting along on a little motorized motorbike with no stabilizers. They love it. Their parents don't like it much. They love it. And then I was thinking about senility. People worry a lot about senility. And actually, my take on it is that if you're worried about going mad, you shouldn't be worried, because you won't know when you've gone mad. When you've lost your marbles, you're having a great time. It's the carers and the rest of the family that I have. So, and then my take on exercise, for example, is really very simple. It's don't do it. It's very boring. It takes up a lot of time. I can't see the point of it. I think mainly I want to make the point that old age can be huge fun. It's quite inspiring and just joyful, absolutely joyful. And I think I would say that apart from the joy of not giving a toss what people think, there's also little joys that you don't get when you're younger, like a kip in the afternoon. Nobody thinks a siesta is a bad idea. They love it. They get rid of you for an hour or two, and you have a kip. I'm in favour of all sorts of things. I have built into my filming contract something called Prue Snooze. And it happens at, you know, 1:30, wherever we're filming, everybody has to shut up for an hour or while. And I suppose, just to end on, I would say that if I had to say what makes for a happy old age are three things. First of all, I think you need to eat well. Secondly, I think you need to sleep well. And thirdly, I think you need to love well.
This week's podcast was kindly sponsored by Baillie Gifford Actual Investors, who take a long-term approach to investing in exceptional companies.